the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West, Farm City Newsday. As we reported this week, ag groups are not pleased with the Senate's passage of Assembly Bill 616. Farm Bureau is now urging members to head on over to the Capitol on September 9th at 11 a.m. to voice their opposition of the bill and tell the governor that ag needs water, infrastructure, and for him to veto the bill. Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about the considerations for corn silage feed when drought impacts production. Also in this week's show is the Almond Update with a look at harvest season as September kicks off. Before we get to those reports, I'm starting off today's program with why spending and federal support is being blamed more than market concentration for food inflation. Let's jump right in. Food prices continue to spike, and President Biden says his antitrust efforts will boost competition in agriculture, helping more farmers while reducing food inflation now up to 3.5% from last year. But others are skeptical that market concentration is solely to blame. Biden's political opponents like House GOP Whip Steve Scalise charge overspending as fueling inflation fires.
If you look at inflation today, every family in America is facing inflation. They're paying over 40% more for gasoline, for cars, for things that they buy at the grocery store. Families know that if you add trillions more debt, trillions more spending, trillions more in taxes, inflation will only go up.
And former Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley also blames inflation on bills like the pending $3.5 trillion budget.
Congress spending too much money. And the second major cause of it is the Federal Reserve having a loose monetary policy. And it's those two things that are feeding the fires of inflation, and their antitrust statements won't impact that at all.
USDA expects food price spikes this summer on everything from beef to seafood to pork, poultry, and dairy prices. NAFB contributed to that report. And now let's take a listen to these back-to-back reports with AgNet West, Brian German.
As corn silage can be especially sensitive to drought conditions, there are some important considerations to be made in terms of quality and nutritional value. Cooperative Extension Agronomy and Nutrient Management Farm Advisor for Fresno, Kings, and Tulare Counties, Nick Clark, highlights some of the issues to take into account when growing corn silage for dairy cows.
When the ears aren't on there, it can be pretty alarming because, you know, now we're missing a very important component of the feed quality. There is still value in the forage as it can still be a highly digestible source of fiber. And on a ratio basis, there's still a good amount of crude protein to be expected in there. One of the issues to be aware of is that when corn is drought stressed, it can hyperaccumulate nitrate, which can cause some health issues for the cows. So if there are concerns about feeding a high nitrate feed, we would advise getting it tested before feeding. We definitely wouldn't recommend doing a green chop and direct feeding, but some work indicates that the ensiling process can reduce the nitrate concentration by 50%. So that might be, you know, one mitigating measure to make sure that we're not feeding high nitrate feed to the animals.
A series of online regional stakeholder meetings for the upcoming Black Farmer Conference with urban farmers is coming up next week. All partners, farmers, and stakeholders are invited to attend the upcoming webinars to go over what you'd like to see and learn at the upcoming Black Farmer Conference. The first webinar on Tuesday, September 7th, is for those interested in the conference from Alameda and the Bay Area, which will begin at 9 a.m. The second webinar of the day will begin at 2 p.m. and is aimed at interested parties in the San Joaquin region. The second day of stakeholder meetings will be on Thursday, September 9th. The first webinar is scheduled for 9 a.m. for those from the Central Valley, and the second webinar will begin at 2 p.m. for those interested from Southern California. This year's Black Farmer Conference with Urban Farmers is scheduled for October 22nd and will cover topics such as access to capital and business resources, as well as youth in agriculture. A link to the stakeholder webinars is available at agnetwest.com. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And in more agriculture news, it's another active wildfire year here in California. As we all can attest to, the devastation here in California due to wildfires, be it destruction, evacuation, smoke, or poor air quality, there's yet another active wildfire season here in California. USDA's Stephanie Ho has comments with USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey about a couple active fires.
California is seeing an especially active wildfire season.
We are looking at the nation's largest active fire, the Dixie Fire, continuing to expand in size, now more than 750,000 acres. It is the second largest modern wildfire in California history.
That was USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
It's past 75% of the way to the record, which was set just last year.
California's record was set in 2020 by the August Complex Fire, which burned a little more than 1 million acres.
But in recent days, the more dangerous fire has been the Caldor Fire, which is burning rather close to Lake Tahoe and starting to burn into some populated areas south of Lake Tahoe. That fire has now moved on to the top 20 list of all-time modern California wildfires.
The Caldor Fire is approaching 190,000 acres burned. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And it's that time where we head out for our first break of the show. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman, when we return. Don't forget, if you'd like to catch a recap of any of today's reports, you can always head on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The District of Arizona Court ruled to vacate the Navigable Waters Protection Rule. However, what the decision means for the rule is one of many questions yet to be answered. Three courts have refused to dismantle the NWPR, including last month when a federal court in South Carolina refused a similar request from plaintiff groups. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval states, quote, "This ruling casts uncertainty over farmers and ranchers across the country and threatens the progress they've made to responsibly manage water and natural resources," unquote. Duval says AFBF is reviewing the ruling to determine the next course of action. Earth Justice sued the EPA and Army Corps of Engineers in the Arizona case. An Earth Justice attorney states the ruling allows, quote, "the Clean Water Act to continue to protect all our waters while the Biden administration develops a replacement rule," unquote. The ruling comes just days ahead of the deadline for comments regarding the Environmental Protection Agency's effort to rewrite WOTUS. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Tossing it right on over to Randall Wiseman with today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, agricultural producers will now have until December 1st to make coverage decisions and complete reporting activities to the Pasture, Rangeland, and Forage Pilot Insurance Program and Apiculture Pilot Insurance Program. USDA's Risk Management Agency is making this change and other updates to these two policies based on feedback from stakeholders. RMA Acting Administrator Richard Flournoy discusses how input from policyholders led to updates with both programs.
We are making some updates to pasture rangeland and forage, as well as the apiculture pod insurance program. Those are designed to help producers protect against lack of participation, whether it's for their livestock or their honeybee operations. This fall, you'll have an additional 2 weeks to talk to your agent to make those insurance selections. And we made that based upon feedback from producers throughout the country, particularly in the West, that said that middle of November timeframe, they're really busy getting ready for winter, and an additional 2 weeks would be helpful. So we went ahead and made that change. So you'd have to December 1st. Also, we're revising our definition of veteran farmer and rancher for these programs. If you're a veteran and your spouse is not, we're making changes to allow that entity to qualify for the veteran benefits. That's another issue we've heard about. As well as for those organic producers out there or those transitioning to organic coverage, we're allowing you to get that coverage if you've requested by acreage reporting date that you requested an organic certification. You don't have to have it complete by that date, but as long as you have the request made, you'll be able to get that coverage. And that's also one that we've heard about in the field that we're making changes to address.
Again, that was RMA Acting Administrator Richard Flournoy. Learn more about this on their website, rma.usda.gov. Well, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration announced this week they've extended the exemption from hours of service requirements for livestock haulers. This extension comes after consistent advocacy by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, who says livestock haulers continue to need the flexibility for the well-being of their livestock during hauls and to keep grocery stores stocked with beef during the continued disruption of COVID-19. NCBA says livestock haulers have been operating under an hours of service exemption since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic while maintaining a strong safety record. NCBA's Executive Director of Government Affairs, Allison Rivera, stated, "I believe the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's continuation of this exemption indicates their confidence in our producers to keep doing their work safely and effectively." Now, the current hours of service rules do allow for 11 hours of drive time, 14 hours of on-duty time, and then require 10 consecutive hours of rest. But livestock haulers need flexibility to protect the welfare of their animals. This new extension will continue through midnight on November 30th, 2021. If you'd like to learn more about this, you can go to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association website, ncba.org. And a quick reminder, the National Grazing Lands Coalition's 8th National Grazing Lands Conference is just around the corner. It'll be held December 6th through 9th in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Learn more at grazinglands.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
Thanks, Randall. And in more agriculture news, producers are receiving slightly less price-wise in July. USDA's latest agricultural prices report reflects primarily lower prices received by producers in most categories compared to the previous month. Here's USDA's Rod Bain with more specific details.
Slight decreases across the board regarding prices received by producers for their commodities, as reflected in USDA's latest agricultural prices report for the month of July. The all commodity price received index declined 0.5% month over month, with the crop and livestock production index declines of a similar rate, 0.4 and 0.6% respectively. On the crop side, lower prices received for food grains and oilseed in July countered rises in prices for feed grains, fruit and tree nuts, and hay from the previous month. The Livestock Production Index noted decreases in all three categories, most prominent a 2.6% decline in what dairy producers received price-wise. Meanwhile, producers paid more month-over-month for inputs and services, up 0.8% in July, due primarily to increases in prices for feeder cattle, nitrogen and mixed fertilizers, and hay and forages. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
All right, folks, it's time for another break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features here on AgNet West Farm City News Day when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Daniel Leal, tossing it right on over to Brian German with this week's Almond Update.
Today's specialty crop news brought to you by the Almond Board of California. You can find them online at almonds.com. As we've now hit the beginning of September, harvest is in full swing in California. We're talking with Almond Board of California field outreach and education specialist Michael Roots today about how things are progressing. So, Michael, let's just start there with an overview of how the harvest season is going this year and sort of where we're at.
Yeah, so things are definitely looking good out there, probably smaller than a lot of people were expecting. Size definitely has been coming through across the board, smaller nuts. In areas where there's been a lot of water stress, even some shriveling going on. So I think everybody's kind of noticing the crop is definitely a little smaller than they had seen last year.
And now making some comparisons to last year here, this season, at least in recent weeks, temperatures have kind of been fluctuating a bit from normal. So has that been impacting the harvest timeline? How does the timing look this season, maybe compared to other years?
So timing-wise, early varieties, nonpareils, independents went very early. It seemed like everybody was harvesting a lot earlier than normal. Things were super dry with how hot it's been. And then in kind of the last few weeks, weather's kind of changed. We've had some hot. We've had some cool down. Some areas have had some smoke. So we've had a lot of variation recently. So I think going into the later varieties and other pollinators, things are starting to slow down a little bit. The pace has kind of changed from those early varieties when it was really hot and things were ready to come off right away.
Very good. And now you sort of make the rounds in several areas talking with growers. So from some of your conversations, are we seeing any significant damage or concerns out there with this year's harvest?
So nothing major. Last season happened to be a really low pressure year for navel orangeworm. So this year, it looks like damage is probably going to be up a little bit from last year. One, a little bit more pressure, and two, just the crop being smaller, those percentages come out a little higher, but nothing very abnormal than what we normally see kind of on an average for navel orangeworm. I have talked to a few people, and it sounds like maybe there's a little more ant damage than normal, just as the market's been iffy for some growers, and they are looking to cut costs. Sometimes ant bait is one thing that gets put to the side, and maybe some growers are seeing a little bit more ant damage than they normally would.
Well, hopefully that's not impacting too many growers out there. And now with these temperatures kind of fluctuating and some of the smoke and haze that's been covering different areas of the state, things haven't been quite as sunny and hot as other years. So are we seeing any issues out there with drying this season?
Yeah, so for the most part, drying has been happening very well, and things have been coming in very dry just with how hot it's been, and definitely just some stress kind of across the state, especially those really early varieties have been quite dry. But we are seeing, as typical, growers that are maybe shaking a little too early when the nuts are still a little green and their trees are very... Their orchards have really big canopy cover, not getting a lot of wind, not getting a lot of sun into the canopy. In combination with shaking a little too early, the holes being a little too green, and then temperatures dropping and a little bit of smoke and haze coming in, I think those growers are seeing a little bit delayed dry time than they would normally expect to see in normal, hot, sunny, dry temperatures. So as long as people are focusing on making sure that they're getting the timing right, they're not shaking too early, and they're giving the nuts time to dry in the field, I think most people are doing fairly okay.
Well, it's good to hear that it doesn't seem to be impacting too many operations out there. And looking sort of at the overall market here, how many almonds are out there and where we are in the season, with some of the growers that you're in contact with, are we seeing some people being asked to stockpile?
So of the growers I'm in contact with, I haven't heard anything specifically, but I have talked to several Huller-Scheller operations, and in conversations with them, they are definitely asking growers to stockpile. Some are incentivizing by giving a little bit of a per pound boost for growers that will stockpile on farm. Some of them are saying before they're taking new customers, it's going to be a requirement that they stockpile on the farm because there just isn't room to stockpile everything at these Huller-Schellers. As this crop keeps getting bigger and bigger, as we've seen, there just isn't as much room. So I'm not sure how widespread it is, but I'm definitely hearing from the Huller-Schelling side that they are in need of growers to be starting to stockpile on their own properties.
Very good. And now just lastly here, I know the Almond Board has a lot of industry resources available to growers with some tips and recommendations related to harvest. So as harvest continues here, for anybody who might have some questions on some particular aspects, where can they access some of that information?
Yeah. So almonds.com, and then under the tools and resources and grower tools, there's several places in there. There's dust management, ways to reduce dust, best management practices around setting sweeper heads. There's also tips for on-farm stockpiling if growers are deciding to do that. So almonds.com, tools and resources, grower tools is a great place for growers to reach out for some helpful tips.
Very good. And we will have a link to those resources up at this week's Almond Update at agnetwest.com. Field Outreach and Education Specialist for the Almond Board, Michael Roots, providing a harvest update for us here today. Michael, thanks again for taking the time.
Of course. Thanks, Brian.
Again, that was Agnet West Brian German with this week's Almond Update. You can find a recap of this Almond Update and any of the other reports mentioned in our show today just by heading on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. Right now, it is time for us to head out for a short break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Hey, we're back again with Mike Boer, co-chair of the 2022 Unified Wine and Grape Symposium. Mike, the symposium is put on by two nonprofits, the California Association of Wine Grape Growers, as well as the American Society for Enology and Viticulture. Can you tell me about their importance and the contribution to the event?
Well, we have an established reputation providing outstanding current breaking news as well as information and content that matters to everyone. COG and ASCV joined forces in 1995, and since then, the Unified Symposium has become one of the industry's premier gatherings. COG protects and promotes the interests of California wine grape growers by providing members a unified voice, effective advocacy, and strong leadership. ASAV is a society dedicated to the interests of enologists, viticulturists, and others in the field of wine and grape research and production throughout the world. They are best known for their publication, American Journal of Enology and Viticulture, which is the top publication for wine and grape growing research.
Thanks, Mike. And for more information, you can visit www.unifiedsymposium.org.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The World Trade Organization established a dispute panel request by China. The panel will determine whether China complied with an earlier WTO ruling regarding the administration of its tariff rate quotas. China submitted its second request for a dispute panel to determine whether it has complied with a 2019 ruling concerning its tariff rate quotas for certain agricultural products, including wheat, rice, and corn. The United States does not agree that China has complied with the WTO ruling and notes that there is a lack of transparency and fairness in China's administration of TRQ measures. China claims that it has fully implemented the rulings and recommendations in the dispute. The U.S. said it's willing to work with China to reach a resolution. Australia, Brazil, Canada, the European Union, Guatemala, India, Japan, the Russian Federation, Chinese Taipei, and the United Kingdom reserved their right to participate as third parties in the proceedings. Tractor Supply Company launched its 7th annual FFA T-shirt fundraiser nationwide. The retailer will sell a special edition FFA T-shirt in stores and online to support the National FFA Organization for a limited time. Each year, Tractor Supply designs an exclusive T-shirt for the National FFA Convention and Expo and sells it before the event. Campaign proceeds will be distributed to chapters across the country, funding agricultural programs and activities for FFA youth. The 2021 FFA T-shirt is available for $12.99 at Tractor Supply stores nationwide, at TractorSupply.com, and through the Tractor Supply mobile app. Proceeds from the program support three FFA programs: Gift of Blue, Living to Serve, and Alumni Legacy. Since its inception in 2014, Tractor Supply's T-shirt fundraiser has raised more than $1.7 million for FFA programs. Additionally, Tractor Supply supports FFA in its mission through multiple annual fundraising events, such as Grants for Growing and activities at the local level. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Daniel Leal. And in more agriculture news, while producers of many crops are expanding production in response to higher prices, growers of one crop have seen their output declining. USDA's Gary Crawford has more in this report.
Yet another season of declining U.S. mushroom production. USDA putting the volume of mushroom sales during this year's growing season at about 758 million pounds, down 7% from last season, almost 9% below the 2018-19 season. Growers also got a penny a pound less for their crop than last year. Laurie Harrison with the American Mushroom Institute told us there are several reasons for shrinking production. First, the lack of workers, especially during the pandemic. Second, global climate change. And yes, it's causing problems even for mushrooms, which are grown indoors.
Mushroom growers use a lot of straw and hay. That's the nutrients the mushrooms grow in. So if you've got straw or hay that's been waterlogged or grew without a lot of rain, then those nutrients are compromised and it'll affect the yields of the mushroom.
Harrison says high capital costs of constructing new growing houses also is preventing producers from expanding production. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And rounding out today's show, as we heard earlier in the show, two fires are raging here in California. According to a California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News report, operators of wineries, apple orchards, and farm tourism destinations in the Sierra Nevada foothills are anxiously trying to gauge impacts of the ongoing Calder Fire in El Dorado County. The fire, still largely uncontained, has spared farms in the popular Apple Hill region. But it has devoured nearby forests, burned hundreds of structures, and closed Highway 50 just as the area was gearing up for the kickoff of its peak tourism season.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West. And our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.